Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
Before we get started, please show us some support. Smash that like button, the subscribe if you're not subscribed to our channel, and turn on your notifications. Turn on your notifications. Wow. Yes. What was that all about? Wow. All right, guys. So we've got a show today. We're probably going to go off on some rants. A lot to be upset about.
A lot to be upset about with the state of it.
Yeah. So
before we get started, we have a very special guest. Welcome back on the show, Josue.
I'm back, baby. He's back. Thanks for having me back.
Josue, local influencer, what Josue has to say.
And yes. Podcaster as well.
Which yes. He just pointed out today. He was sitting there and he's like, oh, this is the same seating arrangement we had when you guys first came on.
So for the record, I'd like to say to your viewers that the first podcast you guys were on together was mine.
Oh, yes.
So some might say that the inception and the birth of Mostly Peaceful Latinas happened on my podcast.
And it was right here in this studio.
Right here in this studio. You're
that's
welcome.
That's true. So today we're going to cover a few topics. Obviously, we were not here. Bella was feeling a little sick last week. But we're going to talk about migrant children that are being exploited under the Biden administration. This already happened under Obama. Actually, for those of you who do not know that weren't following me back then when I had my Wake Up Olinda account on Twitter, those were the first videos that I made about the migrant children during the Obama administration that were misplaced and actually landed in the hands of human trafficker. When I made those videos, those were my first viral videos on Twitter, and I was doing a lot of like human trafficking content or like for children and stuff like that, especially for migrant children. It's actually the way that I connected with Rep. Ana Paulina Luna, who's now in Congress. So it's a very touchy and sad topic. We have to cover it. We're going to talk about pro-life activists that are attacking Trump right now, because as you guys know, the right wing and the left wing just has, they have a severe case of TDS. They're mentally unstable people. They're mentally ill people that should be locked up in a room. They should be medicated and helped. They should be helped because they're not well in the head. They're not here. They're not okay. They're not in reality also. So we're going to talk about these losers as well. They're not well. We're going to talk about the cold war going on between the Sims, which are DeSantis supporters. I know you guys like the governor. It's not even about the governor, to be honest. As you guys know, we usually stick to policy. We're not calling him a rhino. We would never say globalist establishment. I don't care about any of those terms. I care mostly about policy. However, his followers care about attacks, physical attacks, personal attacks, intellectual attacks. I think it's probably some of the worst. They're probably some of the nastiest people that I've dealt with. They actually make liberals look pretty sane, which is crazy to say, but they do. We're going to talk a little bit about also the attacks of Robert Kennedy Jr. and what he had to say about Trump and how he's a climate change crazy activist that people just don't talk about that. So yes. Is DeSantis, by the way.
So is DeSantis. And what else do we have? Oh, Washington State.
And then we want to talk about
custody. Washington State taking custody of children whose parents refuse to give them gender affirming care.
That shit is wild. I saw that.
So wild.
Very wild.
We will also want to talk a little bit about the manosphere. And that's why also we want to ask Josue a couple of questions about that, because we have similar views about these losers in the manosphere. As you guys know, I've talked about these losers before, and every single time I call them losers, people come after me and they're just like, oh, I bet they're you're so not angry. Married. I bet you have cats. I bet you're childless. I'm like, but you're still a fucking loser. Like, are you still a fucking loser? You are. And so we'll talk about that. And as you guys know,
yeah. So before we get started, guys, remember, self-funded, no Illuminati, no lizard people, just patriots. So if you'd like to support us, please check out our sponsor, SentryH2O.com. For those of you that have been keeping up with the story, Sentry is still in East Palestine helping the residents out there. Just last week, they delivered close to 200 new units out there. It is a very comparable to other products in the market that are probably worth four or five times the price that you would be paying for an under-the-sink unit. unit with Sentry H2O. So not only is it smaller and more affordable, it's also extremely efficient. We'll get rid of all the nasty stuff in your water, the fluoride that makes you dumb, the Sentry, what's the stuff that makes you gay.
turns the frogs gay.
All the stuff that gives you the carcinogens, the lead. So all the stuff that makes you gay, gives you cancer, makes you stupid. It's going to remove that and add minerals. And at the same time, not only will you be supporting a patriotic company, but you will also be supporting us, mostly peaceful Latinas, and continue to support their efforts at East Palestine, as they continue to have not forgotten about the tragedy that occurred out there, because it is very much a tragedy. There is people that are still sick out there that still don't have access to clean water. So Sentry's really going out of their way to do their part. And you also get 10% off with code MPL10. So if you've been thinking about looking at a water filtration system, please consider supporting Sentry H2O.
Should be a news anchor, bro.
Right.
She's really good.
She's really good when she gets in the moon. Okay, so the first thing is the migrant children, right? And before Josue, when we were talking on the phone, we were kind of like discussing how Josue is a very moderate neoliberal, I would say, right? Would that be it?
If I had to label, I guess like libertarian type of thing.
Right.
Okay. In a way, you know.
Would you say you're a libertarian? I don't know if you're a libertarian. I almost see Josue like an old school Democrat. Yeah. I see Josue like an old school JFK Democrat.
Right.
Like that's what, which of course would
be. That's kind of libertarian.
Yeah, that's kind of libertarian-ish.
I guess.
You know, like he the social stuff, he's like right. Good on. But before that, before he went through Linda's
re-education camp.
Before he went through a re-education camp by yours truly, he was a lot more left-leaning, especially on the social causes.
Yeah.
And he's made a lot of strides since then.
Now true.
You were still left-leaning.
Yeah.
Because I bought the narratives.
Right.
You know, you buy the mainstream media stuff. I mean, how could you not?
We all did.
Yeah.
Right. We share the story all the time. We all did. So all three of us here are what we would call like past Democrats, past liberals. We're still very moderate. I was talking about before the news broke out today. This is how I know that my intuition never lies. Before I saw the story about what Trump said and why people are mad, and we'll get into it in a second, one of the tweets that I put today, and I said, in my humble opinion, because anyone coming after me, the pro-lifers, I'm a pro-lifer, but in general, I said, in my humble opinion, I think that the Republicans will get a lot further with the transgender issue and the women's situation than the abortion issue. I said, I don't think that Republicans are reading the temperature of the country. I personally don't see that.
Did people get mad at you for making that very obvious
decision? No. Nobody got mad at me, but this was hours before the Donald Trump controversy, gotcha. Right? But I just felt that something was coming. So I tweeted that out. Like you could literally see it was like 9 a.m. or something. But we'll get into the abortion thing in a second. So going back to the migrant children. So if you guys don't know, when Obama was president between like 2012 and 2014, there was an insane amount, thousands of migrant children between the ages of like 10 to 17 years old, so underage minors that were coming through the border, right? Unaccompanied alien children, that's what they were called because they didn't have any parents. They weren't here. They weren't coming with their cousins or older siblings. They were by themselves. So already that is a pattern of migration, right? Like it's not your typical family that's just coming to the border, mom, dad, or mom and the kid, or mom, dad, and kid, or whatever, grandparents, all these kids underage, thousands of them making this very dangerous trip, and males, all male
with
children.
Males and with males.
Huh?
Usually the person that they're bringing them into the country, it's usually
right.
a male.
So males. And I'm like, okay, so then that happens. And all by law, because we have really bad laws, and this law actually started during the Clinton administration. It's called the Flores Agreement. Any underage kid that comes and presents themselves to the border, by law, the United States has to take them in and has to put them as like a refugee and accommodate them and every single day these children are here, are it's like $700 per day per child.
Wow.
And there was thousands of them. So I think it was like 90,000 to be precise. Anyways, these children come, they get registered. But what happens is because of the flow of all these children in migration, then Customs Border Patrol and the Obama administration started loosening up the laws and saying, well, we're going to give these kids to a, how do you call it, the sponsor, a lot faster,
to foster.
We're not going to check their backgrounds that well. We're not going to go through the whole FBI process. So anybody could literally come and present themselves and say, I'm here for Isabella, I'm here for Linda, these children, whatever, and I'm the uncle or the mom's cousin's brother, and they were literally giving these children to whoever during the Obama years.
And what ended up happening?
What ended up happening was that these kids were trafficked and were found later on. A lot of them were never found because it was 90,000 of them that were displaced all over the country. The ones that were found, luckily and thankfully, they were found under horrible conditions. Some of them in an egg farm in Ohio. They were literally like slaves that were all cramped together in a trailer, having to poop and pee all over themselves, giving like one dinner a week. And how were the traffickers able to do that? They were able to do that because they actually traveled to these countries, Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, and they promised the parents, so they know where to go. They know where to go to very poor towns or very poor cities, people that have a lot of necessity, and say, you know, if your child, just tell him to do this journey away from him there. We're going to give him work. We're going to give him education. And so the parents, desperate, they agree. What they don't know is that the child is going to be trafficked legally through the U.S. border. Well, all of that was basically, there was a put an end to it when Trump was around. Right, which is why you had the child separation at the border that was extremely controversial. Right, everybody was up in arms because Trump is the bad guy. I'm sure at that moment you probably thought he was the bad guy.
Separating families, yeah, because that was the narrative.
So that was the narrative, and nobody ever talked about why that was actually necessary. And why that was actually necessary was because of what had happened during the Obama years. All these children who are not. These parents are not their parents, but they know that if they come through a family because of our laws and the loopholes, they're actually able to get an easier and trafficked children.
But the media never gives you that backstory.
Yeah, right. Like, when you watch like independent reporters, like say like a Jorge Ventura that's always like out of the border, the majority of the footage that he covers is grown men.
Right.
That are bringing in small children, like, and somehow they all seem to have the same story, which is the mom left them in the halfway through the journey. Yeah. The mom just left them in custody of kids. Them. It's like, who, for that to make up the majority of the people that are coming in through the border, you really have to take a look. It's like, is it realistic to think that all of these mothers are just giving up their children to strangers? Or is it more realistic that these kids are probably being taken?
Mm-hmm.
Either by force or through some kind of like bribery.
Trafficked, yeah.
Right. So in your opinion, at the time when, and by the way, so then now we find out that this is happening again because of Biden. So in your opinion, back then when you heard the news, what were you thinking? Like, what was your perspective? Do you remember this time, like when the separation was going on and all of the controversy?
I remember, yeah. Specifically because there was images of the detention centers and the poor quality and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't question that much. So I was like, oh, look, why is he doing this? Like, what an evil person, like, in the White House. Like, why would he separate these families? Because that was the narrative that the media was pushing. It was like Trump separating families at the border and the kids alone, this and that, and mothers crying. Like, you know, they always have, like, the sob cases that they focus on, like, get a mother, like, in tears type of thing. But again, they don't give you the backstory. So then you completely buy whatever's being sold to you, and you think, you know, Trump's the evil guy.
A lot of people don't even realize like how much of it is propaganda, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like,
they'll set up photo ops, if you will, where a lot of these images, how many times haven't we seen these really like emotion bearing images of like a mother being separated from her, ripped away from her kid or something like that, and then they go back and you find out a couple of months later that the image was fabricated or that it was relevant to a completely different incident that had nothing to do with crossing the border.
Mm-hmm.
It all has to do with creating that narrative. And you know, I think that it speaks a lot to how do they control the different different voting demographics? Mm. And one way of owning the Latino community is to pull out their heartstrings. And absolutely, be like, they don't want you migrating here. They're separating from your family.
Latino, you can relate to them. Correct. Like, that's kind of what the
idea is, right? And the same thing with DACA. The same thing with the Dreamers, right? There's no pathway to citizenship. I actually have some followers of mine who are Dreamers. This girl Isabella, she's been following me since I had like 500 followers, and she was just, I've forgotten about that she was a Dreamer, and she just DM'd me this week, and she's like, you know, all I want to do is like be able to like work and
without having to worry.
I've been here for like 25 years. I need a pathway to citizenship, yada yada yada, which again, during the Trump administration, that was an offer that was on the table three separate times, and the Democrats denied. The Democrats and the Republicans, actually, because it was a unit party that was opposing Trump's wall for a very long time.
Well, and it's also a great bargaining chip for them, because the Dreamers are such a topic of conversation every time that an election cycle comes up, right?
So then everyone forgets about them until election.
It's the same thing as BLM, right? And it's like nobody talks about it until election time comes, and everybody wants to offer these like part-time. The only person that really offered a true solution to the Dreamers was Donald Trump, but they don't want to take that opportunity because then they get rid of their little narrative that they need to spin. Mm-hmm. And it's what Linda's saying. You know, the Dreamers are a very unique case compared to other immigrants that are coming in through the borders. These are individuals that through two shitty laws and, you know, enacted by Barack Obama, are now here in this country, and they're American. They live here. They don't know. Some of them don't speak Spanish.
My friend Caesar. Well, he had to get married to get papers. I'm sorry to cut you off. Caesar didn't know anything Spanish, because Caesar was brought here when he was 6 months old by his parents.
Yeah.
And what are you supposed to do? You kick out this person and he has to go back to El Salvador,
to a strange country
that he's never been to, that he doesn't speak. And this is a problem where Republicans come off as heartless and extremists, and where Donald Trump is the moderate. And I had a discussion with one of my haters on Twitter about the Dreamers, where he tried to shame me for saying, he's like, oh, look, Donald Trump supporters support legal amnesty or whatever. He tried to shame me. And I was like, my love, I'm literally on a Vice video, which has millions of views. The reason why I was in Vice was because Vice found a viral video that I had back in the day on YouTube, where the video was titled How Obama Treated Dreamers Like a Side Chick. And it was a 10-minute video of me explaining how Obama let these kids, or not kids, most of them are adults now, let these adults into no path, gave them no path to citizenship. It was basically like hanging their life on a string. And then Donald Trump came in to make him like the official girlfriend. And he was like, yeah, you guys can be here legally. Well, this is what we'll do, but I need something back. And what is that? What I need? Border security. It was so simple. Right. And so I'm going back and forth with this guy that's like, no, you got to kick out all these people. I'm like, seriously, like this is going to be your position. This is how you think, because he's obviously rooting for DeSantis. I'm like, this is how you think DeSantis is going to win the moderate vote. You think that this is how you think you're going to position DeSantis as a moderate, by kicking out people that belong in this country, that paid taxes, that went to school here, that have children now. Some of my friends have children here already. So you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what's hysterical about those like absolutists that they're like, no, nothing for the Dreamers, but they're DeSantis bros. DeSantis will be mad quiet about Cubans pulling up on the coast of Florida. Why? Because nobody wants to piss off the Cuban vote in Florida. And whether or not it's my people, it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Like, you're quiet, you're super loud about what's going on the border of Mexico, but you're not going to say anything about the migrants coming in from Cuba coming into the border. Better, yeah. So then what is it really about? Are you truly this like absolute, border security, nothing above, no exceptions for the Dreamers or anything? But then when it comes to the Cubans, you're mad quiet. Like, what is that really about? It's because it's all strategy. He's doing and saying the things that he thinks are going to attract
and appease,
the right, if you will, this absolute far, I don't even want to call them far right, because I wouldn't necessarily say, because they're more traditional Republicans. Yeah. Like,
before we
but even but they love to bring up Reagan, but Reagan gave amnesty to like a million or 2 million people. Like, so I know this because some of even my family members, that's how they got papers. It was back in the 80s and 1989.
Who was president during Mariel?
I don't know if it was Reagan. I think it was Clinton during that time.
Mm-hmm. No, Mariel was 1980.
No way, bro. That was in the early 1980s.
Jimmy Carter? Was it Jimmy Carter? No.
Who was someone in the chat tell us who was president during Mariel here?
Mariel was president. Was 1980.
You know, I don't know if you guys have seen. There's a video that's like trending right now.
Jimmy Carter.
There's a video that's trending right now, and it's, you know, one of these like guys that does like good deeds. You know, they like give people in the street money or whatever.
Oh yeah, I've seen him.
And he goes into a Home Depot parking lot to pick up three immigrants and take them to Disney World.
Yes,
it's cute. Yeah, you know, like cute. He picks them up. He's like, I'm gonna pay you guys for the day. I'm gonna take you to Disney World. Blah 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 blah. But I look at that and it breaks my heart, you know, because like, yeah, it's cool content, whatnot, but that guy, those three men are going to have to be right back at the Home Depot the next day, hoping that somebody picks them up for work. And this is the part. Oh,
what is that?
I'm not entirely sure what that was. you know, they're going to be, these men are going to be right back in that Home Depot parking lot. A day from now, 2 days from now, trying to find a way to feed their families. And this is the part of illegal immigration that's so heartbreaking for me, because when you're letting in these individuals come in illegally through a border, you're creating a second-class citizen from the minute that they enter into this country. They're never going to have access to the same opportunities.
But the Unit Party wants that.
But as Latinos, we shouldn't, right? So that's kind of the counter argument that somebody that's maybe in the thought process that Josue was at a couple of years ago, where he's like, oh, you know, separating families at the border is the worst thing. The counter argument to that really is like having to dehumanize Latinos by telling them that the way that they're going to access the greatest country in the world is to put themselves through this deadly trajectory of crossing a border so that then they can come into this country and be second class citizens and have to work for minimum wage and never have true opportunities available to them is such a slap in the face to the Latinos that come into this country truly searching for a better life,
the American dream,
freedom, and an opportunity. So to me, I'd argue, you know, the people would say, oh, it's so cold-hearted to turn them back when they get to the border. It's like, no, turn them back so that more of them don't feel like they have to find that way to get here. They should have alternate pathways of entering into the United States. We've talked about this before.
That's what Trump wanted as well.
It should be a merit-based system.
They couldn't. So how do you see the whole immigration situation? Like legal, like mostly illegal stuff, because illegal, like whatever, you know, like.
I mean, it's a hot mess. That's how you get cartels. That's how you get human trafficking. But you think about the opposite, the counter argument of that. What if these people that are struggling, like the Home Depot guys, what if that's what they prefer rather than being in their home country?
Yeah.
Like we see it as this is terrible, but to them, maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah.
To them, it's not that bad. And I'll tell you why,
but
it's terrible. But like,
but what are we telling them as Americans, right? Like, well, it could be worse. You know, your kids could be getting raped and you could be getting robbed in your own country. I guess in that sense, they would prefer that. But to me, bringing people in, you know, I'm in recruiting and so many times I've seen people come in from Venezuela, Colombia, Cuba, and you know the joke. Yo fui doctor en Cuba. I was a professional in my home country, and then I come over here.
Those videos on TikTok are so sad.
And I'll do it. I had to see it on a regular basis where they would be like, "I don't have a job for you. You don't speak English. You don't have papers." And it's like, "I'll work at a factory. I don't care. It's like I can't even get you a job at a factory. Again, you don't speak English. You don't have papers.
What are you gonna do?
I can't even get you a job at a factory." And it's like these are individuals that give up. I just feel like it's really inhumane. If there was a way that required individuals to be better prepared to be successful in the United States, that would allow them, number one, legal papers, so that if there is a minimum wage, they don't have to work for slave wages. It protects them to not be
exploited and all this shit. Correct. 100%. You know, there needs to be a system that funnels, I guess, these people that want to come into this country the right way.
Oh,
absolutely.
Another thing that's really controversial that I feel very adamantly about, my father has been in this country for close to 40 years, and while he kind of knows English, he really doesn't know how to speak it. And I feel like that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
I think that
it's true.
Not just for the sake of like you're in America,
but it's also a Miami thing, because that's why so many
they don't feel the need to learn it, because they're in little Cuba here. Mm-hmm.
That's why so many Latinos come to Miami. You know, this was a thing that my grandfather said before we moved here, which was don't move to Miami, like move somewhere else. He like wanted us to go to like Alabama. He's like, don't move
even
there.
New York.
There's too exactly.
Yeah,
like, even my grandfather wanted us to go to like a super white state, like
because you acclimate,
go to the whitest,
you acclimate
right.
to the real
and,
America.
And he didn't want us to go in like New York or Miami or new spaces. And you know, in a way, he was right. We obviously have family members. My mom barely speaks any English.
Yeah,
and it's just they get so used to it, because especially if they're in Kendall or they're in Hialeah or whatever, like you don't really have to speak English at all. Like you can go to McDonald's, you can go to Publix, you can get all your necessities without ever speaking
English. If anything, if you speak English, you need to speak Spanish.
It's probably harder for just English speakers to exist in Miami, because it's so hard here. Right. Everybody speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
So if you don't speak English, but I still feel like it is an issue of like, it's not just, that's why you come here, right? To acclimate, because you want the American lifestyle. You don't want to you want to acclimate to some degree
how
to the
American
lifestyle.
How am I going to go to France and move there and not learn French? You know what I mean?
How are you going to be successful? How are you ever going to be successful when you don't speak the predominant language of that country? You won't be. So your doors will remain closed for you.
Yeah. You know what the craziest thing is? That when you go to Medellin or you go to Cartagena, you go to any of those Colombian places that have a lot of expats or a lot of Americans, they learn Spanish, yes or yes. Like they have no problem. These Americans have no problem learning the native language of that country at all.
Yeah.
And here's a conspiracy theory. So, I don't know if you guys have seen, I'm sure our followers have, the so-called Uyghurs population in China. So if you guys ever hear conservatives,
those are the Muslims?
Yeah, it's like a Muslim minority in China that the Republicans allege that they are being exploited and there's human rights violations and they kill them and they're systematically murdering them by sterilizing them or something, whatever. It's like awful.
Isn't the claim that they're in concentration camps?
Inhumane, right. So there's this whole thing that these people are basically like, it's like another Holocaust. Obviously, I don't want to compare it. I don't want Jewish people getting mad at me. But like that they're systematically killing these Uyghurs population. Now, then there's the other side of the argument, which is very hard to find because we have been secluded from China, period. And the other side of the argument is that that population is not necessarily in these concentration camps or anything. Right. Because they say that they're systematically killing them. But when you look at statistics, their population is actually growing in that part of China, which is where Elon Musk has a Tesla factory. That's why they're giving him shit, because they say that he's like, oh, like he supports Chinese, blah, blah, blah. So basically, like I have found some interviews and some stuff where it says, well, they're migrate here. And what the Chinese government does is put him in these concentration camps, which are really like a place to like assimilate, and they have to learn the language and they have to learn a skill before they're actually like let into China to like work and start a new life.
So like setting them up for success.
Right. So like so that is obviously like, don't kill me over this. I'm not gonna argue about it. I don't want people like, you know, crazy. But that is apparently, supposedly, what's actually happening in China. And I saw some stuff that's like, well, that population is super thriving. They're actually like movie actors. They're actually this. And like, and I was like, what? So you, I don't know. Like, if it were true, suppose that was true, wouldn't that be a more humane way of migration? To keep these people and teach them the language and skills before they get into the country than what we do now, which is,
yes.
I think that's smart.
Yeah, I agree. If it were up to me, you would have a certain time period from the time that you come into the United States to learn the language.
Yeah.
Maybe not immediately, but you'd have to be like at least at
a program, novice like a program level that like
within
a,
like a 2 year period or whatever it is. Because how else, dude? Else you're always gonna have doors that are gonna remain closed to you? And even for like other shit, like I used to get away with a lot when I was a teenager because my parents didn't speak the language and there was things that I could get away with.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's like for other things too, like you don't want to be at a disadvantage. So with that being the case, like the people always lose their shit when I say that people should be required to learn the language when they're like, oh, we don't have an official language. I get it. That's just because that's the way that things are. It doesn't mean that that's the right way for things to be. It's like, if you come into this country, you should want to learn the language. If you truly come over here to chase the American dream, you shouldn't come over here to want to exist in a state of just comfort. You know, like, I don't want to have to change anything. I don't want to have to learn anything. I don't want to have to sacrifice anything. I don't think that the immigrants of yesterday, like of our parents' times, saw immigration into America the same way that maybe the people that could just waltz in through the border see it. You know, my family was forced to have a higher level appreciation for their entry into the United States because there was a lot of sacrifice to it. Leaving Cuba was not easy. Getting to Venezuela and having to wait 9 years to leave Venezuela in order to be able to be accepted into the United States legally. That meant having to go to immigration offices, doing copies of paperwork, paying fees, doing all sorts of things that by the time that they finally stamp that paper in there, like you're going to be allowed into the U.S. It's like you've all dropped down to your knees and thank God that you're being given the opportunity to exist in the land of the free. And you can't compare that to somebody that's just going to be able to walk in through the border. Yeah. There's the level of appreciation for what this country has to offer just isn't going to be there. Let's thank a couple of people in the chat. All right. So our girl, Katrina, good evening, damas, with a $99.99 donation. Thank you, girl, for keeping the lights on. Our girl, Jenny, $4.99 says, I love the show with Alex Otaola. You guys did. It was great. Love you guys. He definitely loves you guys. He mentioned you guys again on yesterday's show.
What do you say, Jenny? Tell us on the chat
what he said. I want to know. If you guys have not seen us on El Mañanero with
if you speak Spanish,
because it is in Spanish, or you want to send it to your abuela, you can check us out. Monday. You can check us out on Monday on Alex Otaola's Mañanero show.
I saw it. It was really good.
I'm so sorry. On Tuesday.
I thought it was Tuesday. I'm like, was it Monday? We have Marta Dominguez says, always thankful for your work and insightful knowledge is power. Thank you, Marta, so much for supporting us. Adam coming through.
For you,
Adam through. Katrina's keeping the lights on and Adam's keeping on. We got our boy Angel on payroll. Damn, it feels good to be back. Bonus MPL bucks tonight due to celebrate God's blessing me with a new job. Thank you, Linda, for keeping MPL absolutely catfish free. Love and blessings to you, ladies. Adam, thank you so much and congratulations on the new job, dude.
I'm getting a cut of this, right?
Yeah. Just so we know, do we discuss number percentages at the end of it? Who else do we have down here? We have a few, right?
Yes, Eric as well, I think.
Mr. Eric Joseph, also our friend, $19.99, letting us know, in order to have a functioning country, we need shared values and a shared language. This used to be the case, but the gap has widened over the years.
That's true.
I mean, I feel just as strongly when it comes to the United States recognizing Christianity as their predominant faith. I think that it's precisely Christian values that allow America to be so open to other cultures, to other minorities, to other religions. So why is it wrong to want to be identified by those same Christian values that allow you to be tolerant to other groups? I know that the separation of church and state exists. I'm not a legislator. I'm not in charge of making any changes to the Constitution. So you don't have to worry about that. It's just my opinion because I know people lose their shit over this topic. But I'm a well-traveled person. I've been to over 26 countries, and every country that I've traveled to seems to have a predominant religion that they are identified by. And it's always been so weird to me that that's not something that can exist in the U.S., you know? And don't tell me that we're not a Christian-based nation when we have In God We Trust in our country, when, you know, when we pledge allegiance. Like, all of these things are Christian faith, and that is something that's currently under attack when you have these recognitions of God and Christ in our system, when you have groups like Satanists wanting to remove that. It's like, I don't want to be identified by as a country that is equal with Satanists. That's, I don't feel like that's the right thing.
But the thing is, this is where we were going to have a conflicting issue, not between you and I, but between the country. Because the First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, which in this case, you could be a Satanist. You can be an atheist. You can be a Hindu. Yes. You can be anything. That's why Satanists, that's why the Temple of Satan has literally won court cases, because they have argued in court that they can have rights as Satanists.
And let's say for a second, in the sake of that argument, sure, let them have rights, but that doesn't mean that the United States has to be identified by this plethora of religions. We are a nation. Our forefathers were Christian. We are Christians. Our country was based off their desire to want to be able to practice Christianity. So with that being said, there is to me personally, there's no harm in the country identifying as we are a Christian nation with open arms for all faiths and all religions.
What do you think,
Jose? I think 100% I'm with you. I'm beautifully said. But I think a lot that feeds into that is the cultural pushback that there is in the US for Christianity, because Christianity, to an extent, specifically towards the left, has been looked at like demonized. Mm-hmm. Like the evil Bible thumper that wants to not have an abortion and to instill like, don't be gay, like all these like limiting type of thing in pop culture, right? In pop culture, exactly. and all of this, mm-hmm. it's been just pushed down people's throats. Mm-hmm. So people start slowly looking at, oh, Christian, there's an evilness to Christianity. There's that hatred in Christianity, which people associate as well with the Republican Party.
Right.
Well, because look at kind of what it is that we're seeing now, to get into the topic about Trump's recent comments where he basically, what was it that he said, Linda?
I'll tell you now, but I wanted to ask Josue just so he can give our followers a perspective of how you started changing your mind to become more of a moderate Democrat, more of a maybe a centrist, center right. Center right. Have a lot of people here. You know, we have Bernie Bros. I don't think she's here tonight. Our girl Jeanette. We have a lot of different people on this channel that are watching us now and also will watch us later, who were also like you and I and Bella. So I like to share these type of perspectives. So tell us like what was like your turning point kind of way.
I think like everybody else, in my opinion, Trump was a huge catalyst, you know, not to keep riding the Trump train, but it's true. He came around, and for better or worse, wherever you side on him, he came in as a catalyst and he shifted so many perspectives. For example, when I remember specifically, he would always attack the media. Right. And in my mind, what was I always taught? Anyone that attacks the media is a communist, because that's what Fidel Castro would do. Right. Blah, blah, blah. And then the media would attach themselves to that. And obviously, I would think, this guy's, you know, a fucking fascist. Like, he's attacking the media. How dare you attack the media? But as the years go on, then you start seeing that the media isn't exactly as truthful as
we would
like it to be, or as was previously thought 5 years before, 10 years before. You know what I mean? So everything started to unravel. And when you start seeing inconsistencies, then you just start, if you have a brain, you start to question. You're like, oh, well, if this is inconsistent, then what else is inconsistent?
Right.
You know what I mean? And you just start picking apart, and you see things for what they truly are.
Yeah.
And
I think COVID too, right?
COVID too. Hell yeah. COVID was another catalyst for everybody. And for a lot of people. 2016 and 2020 were huge, like,
leaps,
paradigm shifts for society, for the world. And yeah, Trump had a huge part of that, 110%.
The moon phases did too.
The moon face.
And I think that Pluto. This is a problem that the DeSantis supporters on Twitter are not understanding. And I wanted to put this into context. And I said, let me just wait until I get to the studio and then I'll say it on the microphone instead of like tweeting it. So when I first started to wake up and said, I don't like the Democrats, they're crazy, they're attacking Trump for no reason, they're very vile, like all these things, the first thing that I encountered
with the MAGA movement was a lot of love, support, and happiness, right? And like, obviously, you are going to have people that you don't like or attack you. Like, that's normal with anything. Mm-hmm. You could literally be in a Christian group or Muslim. It doesn't matter. You're going to have that. But the reality was that there was so much patriotism. There was so much genuine love. Like, there was so many.
It was euphoric.
It was euphoric. Like, it was great. Like, I remember my first viral tweet. And I had a very small account, but the reason why I went viral was because I had hashtagged walkaway, which is when Brendan Straka had the whole walkaway situation. And I put something like, you know, I just re-registered myself from a Democrat to an independent. I can no longer support the left, blah, 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 hashtag walkaway. And that went viral. That went fucking viral. And there were so many people coming to me and saying like, welcome, welcome, blah, blah, blah. Like, we, I used to be. So all this stuff, all this to say that now, right, fast forward 6 years later, where we have this great division within the Republican Party, mm-hmm. between the people that believe DeSantis is the way forward, and then the rest of us who are Trump loyalists that say, no, Trump still has a fight. Trump is the better candidate for X, Y reasons, and then they have the reasons. But the problem that's happening right now is that DeSantis people see us as enemies. They see us as people that are hindering them from that so-called winning. It's so fucking pathetic how they just, oh, we want to win. We want to win. Like, I'm tired of losing. You're a fucking loser to begin with. Like, you already lost that life. Like,
we should have brought a bottle. You were and every time lost. Linda said loser, like, we ought to get a shot.
You're already a loser. But, you know, they have this whole thing where they call us cultists, right? Like, oh, you're just waiting for Trump to save you. Like, you guys are cultists. Meanwhile, we've done all this stuff in the state, in our county, in our city, yeah. because we understand that no one is coming to save you.
And they're still
but they
mad.
Are the ones. They're still mad, right? But they're the ones that are saying that through DeSantis is how we are going to be saved. Right.
These are the same people that are pissed off. Like, first of all, they won't touch anybody that's QAnon with a 6-foot pole. Right. They won't. But then at the same time, they're pissed off that mm-hmm. the QAnon dreams didn't come true. Right. Like, they were expecting Trump to somehow like fix like the last 100 years.
The second
of, like,
coming. Yeah.
Destroying America. And he was going to fix it in four years.
Right.
They are the true cultists. They are the ones that are the true cultists where they wanted Trump to be the great voice for every single cause. And if you just let me down with one thing, that I'm going to, destroy you for forever. Cause that's where they're at right now. They want to destroy Donald Trump, and not just Donald Trump, but they want to destroy his supporters. Mm-hmm. And you know what's hilarious to me about a lot of these comments? They're like, we're never going to win with Trump. We're never, you know, if the Trump cultists would just realize that we're never going to win throughout Trump. Like, do you not realize that you're inadvertently admitting to yourself that you cannot win without Trump's base?
Right.
So you think you're telling us that we can't win without you? There's like four of you. There's like there really isn't just there's just not a lot of you.
Yeah, there
Twitter's
isn't.
Not real life. We have to repeat this to people every several thousand day. Times. I guess that I hadn't been on the Twitter interactions in such a long time because I've been banned for some time that I hadn't realized that these people really do exist in an echo chamber and a bubble. I don't mean Twitter's not real life in the sense where there's real life and then there's the internet. No, like, there's other platforms outside of Twitter too where people have followings and you don't.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of these people are really loud. Right. And to go back to that, I'm not on Twitter. Our page is predominantly managed by Linda.
We know.
our page is predominantly managed by Linda. And yet, of course, you know, because it's both of our pictures and everything, we've been getting dragged into a lot of these
and
things.
It's all men.
It's all men.
It's all men.
Listen, when
it's always men.
When it's I became when I came out as a conservative to my majority Democrat friends, there was a sense of where I did get backlash. Like, I had, particularly when I became a lot more verbal about things in 2020, when the race wars started, mm-hmm. there was a lot of my Black friends that felt like I had
African-American.
Yeah, that were just like, I went from being like super down and cool to from one day to another because I put on a red hat, them seeing me completely different. And I remember that transition and losing people and feeling like, damn, this is being treated that way and feeling like, damn, it sucks that these people who truly know me are going to treat me different because I put on a red hat.
It's a product of the brainwash.
And yet that the product of that brainwash that we're talking about millions of dollars in PR campaigns and issues.
And it was successful. Yeah.
And riot and all these other things. And yet, if I had to rate those people on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably rate them at about a 9. And if I had to rate the way that the only DeSantis bros, because there's people who still don't want to fight to ensue between the two, between Trump and DeSantis. But if I had to rate the group of people who are DeSantis is the only way, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're like a million of disgusting and vile. Yeah. I genuinely mean it people. Because like Linda said, when I remember my first MAGA rally and my first parade, and the energy is euphoric. Like there's so much love in MAGA. And there was almost like this desire where it's like, you're Latina? They want to show you more love because
they fucking hate us. Now they hate us.
They wanted to show you all that love. They wanted to do that. And it's like, now I can't believe that we had somebody tell us to go clean toilets the other day. Week. We've had people call us
fake Kardashians
because we're two women with long, dark hair.
Yeah.
We've been body shamed. The people zooming into thighs and grown men. These are all grown professional men that to some degree have some level of affluence within the political commentary space.
People that are on Fox News, people that are at CPAC, people that are, which of course I am going to try to write to all of them and try to ruin them because that's just how I am. Like this fight is not over. Like that's it. Like you started a war you can't finish, right? Maybe not Bella, but they weren't really fucking with Bella. They were mostly fucking with me. You guys know I'm petty, so I'm not going to stop being petty. We'll see. Maybe I'll change my mind tomorrow. I don't know.
No, I mean, it has to be called out. But this is the bigger problem.
Wait, hold on. Let's ask our guest because we got to let him talk. How do you feel about the DeSantis-Trump situation? No, you got to let him talk, Bella. How do you feel about the DeSantis? Like, okay, from an outsider point of view, like he's not that involved. He doesn't understand all the intricacies of the craziness. He just sees me fight. But how do you feel about like the DeSantis-Trump situation?
I think that, and I told you guys this from the beginning, that to me, it was, I always thought, and maybe this is my crazy conspiracy mind, thought that this was kind of like an internal push to get the conservatives divided, you know, and maybe cause some sort of, you know, downfall. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people getting upset and not, let's say DeSantis is the Republican candidate, you know, people won't vote for DeSantis, so then Biden gets another term. So something like that. Right. That was always like the way that I saw it. Specifically DeSantis, I think he's a good governor. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think he's an amazing governor, but I think he's done good by Florida, specifically in his first term. His second term, he's looking more like the typical Republican that people hate type of thing.
Well, he's not here, right? He's an absent part-time governor.
He's doing his shadow presidential campaign. Run around. He's going to Europe, I think, now this week or some shit like that.
He's going to Israel.
But then there's other countries he's visiting.
He has a whole tour.
Good for him.
Japan, Korea.
So
he must be getting ready for that 2026 governor campaign. That must be it.
8 years ahead. So seeing these little inconsistencies, the Disney stuff, you start questioning again. Like you don't, like I said earlier, when you start seeing the inconsistencies, you question, right? If you have half a brain, and the media headlines that were pumped out about and positive ones aren't exactly all that it is what I'm starting to see. I still think he's a good. Two things can be true at the same time. I still think he's a good governor in comparison. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like not the bar is set that high. But is he turning out to be a typical Republican politician? Yeah, that's also true. So
What do you call a typical Republican politician?
The corporate guy that everyone hates, the Christian values that people like, oh my God, an evil Christian, like those stereotypical Republican.
Do you think that the latest bill with the 15-week abortion ban is kind of playing?
It's a six week.
Do you think that that's playing into the that kind of standard Republican bad guy, if you will?
Of course. Specifically to the people that are on the left that already didn't like him because he's a Republican and because of everything he stands for. Yeah, that's going to get people all riled up. And it is. There's people saying that women and gays aren't safe in Florida.
Yeah,
that they have to leave. Like, these are people, like, I've had them on, we know different, but 100%. I've had them on my comments. Like, I'll post a video about, like,
nothing,
the park,
Cheetos,
and I'll have this random woman that doesn't even follow me, Florida, this and that, and I feel unsafe because women are being attacked. Like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. Like, please,
this is a Wendy's.
Please. So there's plenty of them like that.
I just, you know, and we actually made comments about this last summer after Roe v. Wade was overturned, that Lindsey Graham went out and he's like, now we need like a federal ban on all abortions. And they've given that kind of like push for extreme, abortion bans. What gave 2022, the Democrats gave them some form of advantage because all of this like Gen Z voters went out and were led by this one topic where they felt like their bodily autonomy was being taken from them. So we've been critical of this before. I am absolutely unapologetically pro-life, and clearly I want pro-life laws.
It's about reading the temperature of the country, which is what Trump understands way more than Republicans and DeSantis himself.
And then also, you got to look at it like we're doing the most right now. Like, this to me is the most. Like, we just had a historic win with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Why can't we kind of bask in that moment for a second? Why can't we accept that, like, this is amazing that we were able to do this, that there's going to be less mothers that have the ability to make this really permanent decision to not just hurt, you know, end the life of their child, but hurt themselves in the long run, because I believe that that's something that women live with for the rest of their lives. And it just seems like it's more theater. Like, I don't think it really has anything to do with saving lives. It seems like it's more theater. And then you have to wonder, theater for what? What's the theater for? Because this isn't going to win, you know, for all the people on the internet that say, oh, Trump could never win the moderate vote. Trump could never win the moderate vote. That's why we need DeSantis. Like, bro, DeSantis is never going to win the moderate vote with a six-week abortion 100%. Ban.
That's just,
like, it's just not like, I want babies to live and exist as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
But you got to, we do exist here with people that have different beliefs. And while I don't think that abortion should be easy or easily accessible or attainable, because I don't believe that. I believe that it should be rare. I also have to understand that I don't like the government getting involved and telling people what it is that they can and cannot do with their body, because ultimately we know what's going to happen. The same rules, the same autonomy that they take away from liberals when it comes to abortions is the same arguments that they're going to use to take away rights from you when you don't want to get vaccinated.
Absolutely agree with everything you said. Yep.
So how do you, like, what would be your cutoff date for abortion?
So this topic in general, like, I don't like to really get into, number one, because I do support the whole guy saying I'm not a woman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that's like. I'll never know what that's like.
Right.
So where is my footing in you know, giving.
Well, you would be a father, so it's kind of
if it was my woman, right. I'm saying if it's a random woman, then who the fuck am I, type of thing. Mm-hmm. Personally speaking, the same argument Bella said. Mm-hmm. If
I don't have a say, though.
What do you mean?
As a man, you don't really have a say on whether or not the person that you're with keeps.
Oh, 100%. It's up to her. What am I gonna do? Like, no.
Do you feel that's okay? Yeah. Do you feel that fathers should have
absolutely?
A
it's because sad, it takes two. But I'm also not the one holding it inside my body. So it's like a 60-40, because I'm not carrying it to term. But was I there, and is it part of me? Right. Absolutely. It's you know, that's, I guess that's why there's that. The debate that there is,
right?
Because it's such a gray, like, there's so many different variables that go into it. It's not that black and white. So I understand the frustration and shit. But the same way that I don't want anybody to tell me to jibba jabberoo myself, then I wouldn't want somebody to tell me like what to do with my body if I was a woman. You know, I think, but if I am giving my opinion, I think 15 week was a solid, fair, like, solid. Fair. I you would 12, know by 15 weeks 12, what is...
I think 12 weeks.
Six, I think, is a little...
Right. Well,
Look, but sometimes it takes women a lot longer to even realize.
Exactly.
Let me tell you guys what's going on so that we can continue on this, in this beautiful topic, and why everyone's pissed at Trump again. Take that scene from what was the show? Everyone's always blaming everything on me. Yeah, what is it called?
I don't know, but I remember the
with Will Smith. So basically this is what's happening. I think it was Political asked a Trump advisor or a staffer or somebody on his campaign, what is Trump's position on federal abortion laws? They didn't talk about necessarily about a ban or anything. They asked federal abortion ban, and they said, well, President Trump appointed 3 Supreme Court justices, which overturned Roe v. Wade, which is what he promised and he accomplished. This is probably the most consequential Supreme Court decision that's ever happened in the pro-life movement, something that people were fighting for 50 years, a lot of these pro-life organizations. So they say he believes that it's up to the states. And I can go back in time. I can go right now, which is what I told people on YouTube. And you can literally put Donald Trump, abortion up to the states, 2015. And you can find his position over and over again, which has been, I will overturn Roe v. Wade and give the power back to the states. I'm pro-life with exceptions, rape, incest. He lists his reasons. But I personally believe that it needs to go back to the states. Roe v. Wade is overturned. People are celebrating. So because he comes out with a statement, or his press secretary or whoever, then you have Life, right? Live Org. Is that what it's called? Live
Action,
Org.
Live Action.
Lila Rose. And you also had the president of Students for Life come out and say that Donald Trump is not fit for office because he does not want to guarantee a federal ban on abortion. Mm-hmm. Some of them want Some of them want a federal ban at 15 weeks. I believe that's the SBA organization. The other ones want a federal ban, period, on abortion overall, meaning the states don't get to decide. Now, let's think about this for a second, because then you have the people, you have Matt Walsh, you had all these people like, I'm not voting for Trump. Trump's not standing up for life. Thumbs up this. After Roe v. Wade is overturned because of Trump, right? So this is already a huge win. This is already the reason why Florida's able to have a 6-week ban on abortion. Florida, I think Texas has the heartbeat bill, which is 8 weeks. And, you know, all these conservative states have rolled back abortion rights. So then you have all these people come against him. All these women are acting emotional. And I'm arguing back and saying, this is exactly what he said since 2015. And it's not just that, but this is what most of us wanted. Like, when you read the decision of Roe v. Wade was overturned, the Supreme Court literally states that the power is going to be given back to the people and their elected representatives.
Why? Because it was unconstitutional.
Correct.
Because making Roe v. Wade was unconstitutional from its inception, because the way that our great republic is set up is that those things have to be determined at a state level. So how are you going to take the same thing that got Roe versus Wade, the same legalities that we want as conservatives, because that's our job to conserve, conserve this country, conserve the republic. Yep. It's not conservative to be stuffy. How are we going to make the argument that we want to conserve the republic, use that argument to overturn Roe v. Wade and take the power from the federal government and give it to the states, but then come in with our chest puffed up, like, because we've got a majority, not even a super majority, we got a little majority, because we got a little house majority, and we're going to be like, we need to start, completely banning it. We need to put it at a federal level. It's like, you're not conserving the very thing that needs to be conserved, which is the way that this country operates, which is that you don't give the federal government access to make decisions at a state or local level.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? What are your thoughts on the whole situation?
So when that happened, I posted a bit about it and didn't really give my opinion, just kind of that I thought if
just
that's
the news, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the news. And if that's the way the Constitution is supposed to work, then I support it, because I support on conserving the Constitution and going, whatever. Bro, I had so many like just dragging me to shit in my DMs.
There's just
and
so
then many. Unfollow women. Yeah. Women. Yeah. Like at least 60 people unfollow me, at least minimum.
Yeah, right.
And essentially, I was just saying, you know, what happened, and hey, like, if that's what the Constitution says, and we should right. always go by right. what, you know, we shouldn't stray too far from. I got all these just bro, nastiness. Nastiness.
And they turn into demons.
They turn.
Here's the thing, too, right? You see Joe Biden even last week, and there was a shooting. Talk about a national ban on assault rifles, right? That's what they've been trying to do since like I don't know how long. National ban on assault rifles. As you guys know, the Second Amendment rights vary per state, where you have a state like New Jersey, where you literally, I spoke to a person from New Jersey, actually from the Cava Bar, Victor's dentist, who was telling me that the way that you get a gun in New Jersey is literally insane.
How is it?
You need like, aside from like having to pass a test or whatever, like you need five people to go to the police station at the same time on the same day to basically verify that you're not a psychopath and they know you and you're okay to own a gun. So like, why? Because it's a Democrat led state, Democrat controlled state.
California, and they have been able stuff too.
Right. New York. I mean, you have so many. So my thing is like, if you want an abortion, obviously like some people argue, well, it's a life, right? So life, it starts at conception or whatever. Don't these people think that if they give a federal ban on abortion, then you open up the doors for liberals to later say, well, we're going to have a federal ban on many things or whatever we want, right? It's kind of like how liberals also wanted to expand the court, the Supreme Court, because they wanted to put more liberal justices so they could like do whatever they wanted. Right. So you can't always think that you'll have it your way it's a double-edged sword.
100%.
Correct. And you have to be prepared for what happens when the power goes over to the other side.
Because it will. The pendulum always swings.
What do you think is going to happen now that the Democrats have opened up the door to indict a former president, to raid a former president's house?
Yeah.
And now a gate has been opened. We're not going to be able to unwalk through that.
Yep.
Luckily for us.
So here's a few things that have happened. So you have this that now Trump is being attacked. When Ron DeSantis signed a six-week abortion bill, which happened last week, he did it in the middle of the night. He didn't really brag about it, which, as you guys know, DeSantis his team brags about everything that he does, right? They didn't really brag about it. They didn't really brag about it because they know that it's going to fuck them over in the end. It's going to position DeSantis as a much farther right, religious,
correct,
whatever you want to call it,
typical Republican.
Trump no longer is going, make the moderate.
You
argument.
Cannot win. You can't win the moderate vote and have a six-week abortion ban.
You tell me then, what was the political strategy behind doing that?
Well, I think
that's
part
what
of
I don't
it,
understand.
I think that
because it's not helping him out.
Probably his donors, his base.
Well, his donors. The other problem that he's having. He has donors walking away because a lot of his donors are very moderate people when it comes to social issues. They've been pushing him because they want to get rid of MAGA populism. They want to go back to the old school GOP, which is really just pro corporate America, millionaires tax cuts.
Yeah.
Whereas Trump was like, I'm going to give the middle class the tax cuts. I'm going to help the middle class and we're going to have populism. Right. It was a president for the people. So but Ron DeSantis's donors are not very pro-social issues. So they were already donating to him and they were like, I don't really fuck with like your book ban and I don't really care for like your, you know, transgender stuff. However, you do promise that you're going to be better and more friendly towards our corporations, yada, yada, yada. Climate change is another big deal.
Climate change is a huge one. Just like Griffin. That's why Griffin's behind him.
That's why the other guy's behind him too. Griffin.
Yeah.
So around something that nobody ever talks about, including DeSantis, the Sims, which is what I call them, is how big Ron DeSantis is on climate change. DeSantis is basically the AOC of the right, and nobody talks about it. Compare what AOC proposed in her Green New Bill, and then compare what DeSantis has been signing off in Florida, and it's basically the same thing.
He wants to lower emissions by more.
He wants to lower emissions.
So, like, when you look at something like what's going on right now in Fort Lauderdale with like cars all jacked up and floods, he wants to push more of that. He wants us to switch over to completely electric cars. Like, those are very globalist, new world order type of ideas.
You know?
Like, there's people on the internet that will make, hey, we're just advancing technology. It's like, no, let's call it what it is. you can shut down an electric car remotely. You can't do that with a gas-powered vehicle. Mm-hmm. Therefore, making it a point that the state is going to show progression by switching over to all of these non-emission vehicles, realistically, what you're saying is that the government can have control over these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you won't see you won't see it immediately. 5-10 years from now, you're gonna start seeing that type of shit. And then
let's give a shout out to Miss Stacy, who just made a donation a little while ago. $50. Miss Stacy, thank you so much for taking care of us. Hi, ladies. Thank you, Linda, for the entertaining week. These fools weren't ready for all that shit.
No, they're not ready for this. They're not ready. You know what's funny? With the men that have been attacking me on Twitter is that they don't want to smoke on Instagram, because especially Dave, the Reuter, the angry fucking Reuter, Dave had us blocked from like months ago, and he literally unblocked me just so he could trash me. And then when I went on Instagram to trash him and he saw my following, he literally blocked my main account, my second page, and our podcast account, because he gets off in knowing that he can dunk on a girl that has 3,000 followers on Twitter but 145,000 on Instagram, while he only has like 1,000. So he's like, well, I'm going to be the big guy, and you know, I'm going to be the fucking asshole and do it on Twitter where I have a lot more followers, even though his engagement is shit. But yeah, here's the thing about these DeSantis influencers and the whole entire situation. DeSantis has been recruiting, or not really DeSantis, it's actually Christina Pusha, who's his press secretary. She has been recruiting for almost a year, what she thinks is like very well-connected, like media pundits and influencers who nobody fucking actually knows, and they have no influence. And
you think she was like, it's just who she got. How many people do you think she tried to reach out to that wouldn't turn on Trump? She knew who to talk to and who not to talk to.
Yeah. I also think it's the demographic, because where DeSantis does better than Trump is like the wealthier, more affluent, like Gen X, yeah. Right? So
West Palm Beach.
Yeah, like Gen X. Demographic.
Aren't they like the smallest generation? Like, are Gen Xers like the smallest generation? Like, it can't be that serious.
Yeah. And so he's recruited all these like fucking crazy people that have no influence or anything. Some of them that live in Miami. And we've never seen anywhere. You've never heard of these people before. No. You've been nowhere in the political arena at all. And, you know, it's funny because we've been observing them for a while. And before I even started interacting on Twitter, when I was just quiet because Christina Pusha was following me and I didn't want her to like see my bias at this point. So I went months, right?
Yeah, we did.
I honestly didn't start tweeting.
We were just maybe making like a memes month. For each other. We weren't even posting the memes. We weren't talking about it publicly. We were making it a point to like hold ourselves back when we were on the podcast. And it's because we supported the governor. Yeah, like, absolutely. Nobody wants to admit that they got played. We got played. Yeah. We supported the governor blindly. And we encourage people to go out to vote for him, which is still the right thing, because I think it's all strategy. And clearly we want DeSantis, who at least has to answer to our demands versus a Democrat being there. So that was still the strategic thing to do. Mm. But there was definitely a certain responsibility that came with the fact that we know we have a platform, and we understand that being unnecessarily divisive is not a good thing, which is why we never made a comment about any of this till after the elections. In fact, our first interview with Roger Stone, where he exposed the DeSantis shadow campaign, we made the conscious decision to actually release that episode to almost 3 weeks after we had recorded it, because we wanted to wait until after the election to drop this content. We didn't want to affect the governor's campaign in any way or share this narrative. But dude, it's like, oh, you know, the people that are arguing like, why now? It's like, what better time than now?
Yeah.
We weren't going to do it during the elections. We're gearing up towards an election. So it's the perfect time right now to discuss it and to point it out. You know, DeSantis isn't here. I'm a Floridian. Like, that's another thing. It seems like a lot of the people who have the most strong opinions are people that are not even here in Florida.
Let me ask you guys, because I haven't really, I mean, I follow it a bit on Twitter, but I haven't seen this response. So the people that are really writing for DeSantis, the simps.
The simps. Call them by their name.
How do they respond to his shadow camp, to when you guys call out his shadow campaign, or like his inconsistencies? Are they just like the liberals in denial, or they double down?
They encourage it. Like
as far as the shadow
they're like
campaign,
a hype team. They don't. They're not necessarily saying that he is running, but it's kind of like an attitude. Like, so what if he is? He's the better candidate.
It 100% is a shadow campaign. Like, you have to be an idiot not to see if it is.
I think he should actually get in trouble. I think DeSantis should get in legal trouble for doing that. That's my opinion. I think that he's actually violating FEC rules.
Yes, he is.
By not like he is, he's doing it's all illegal. That's why they have to find a loophole. What
his, the book is the loophole, no?
Right?
Right.
Deals there you go. On paper, it's
dijo una persona que yo conozco por ahí one time that book deals could be very lucrative.
I don't know.
What does that mean?
Some people will know.
Well, I think he should be investigated by the FEC. I don't think it's going to happen because I think that he's the establishment's pick, which is why you see so much liberal media that's very friendly to him. But I think Laura Loomer, I think a few people have tried to already get him in trouble with the FEC. And here's the thing about the whole shadow campaign with DeSantis and the Sims, right? The first thing that they say is that who cares? People have book tours. It doesn't matter. He's a better candidate. He could do it. He's smarter. Da, 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 da. Then you have the issue of the AstroTurf campaign. What is the AstroTurf campaign? The AstroTurf campaign is basically that they have deployed all these assets, all these digital assets, and all these bots and sock accounts that elevate his status. So you have to give the impression that he has so much more support, and they have the same talking point. You have the older, you have the regular influences like John Cardildo and the fucking angry little troll and whatever, like their whack influencers say, like supporting him, like the regular stuff. But then you have like a second tier of influencers, right? Or regular people. And then you go look at this accounts, and this accounts were born in like August 2022, December 2022, January of 2023, all within the last year or so, even 6 months. And all of these accounts are saying the same tune. I was a two-time Trump supporter, and now, Trump can't win the general election. Trump cannot appeal to women. Trump cannot appeal to moderates. Trump cannot get independents. Trump this same entire talking point. And you know who started, I mean, we've been pointing it out for months, but you know who started pointing it out this week? Jack Posoyevic. Because there has been these MAGA influencers that have remained very quiet and able to not drive the division. They don't want to be like me and Bella. They don't want to be assholes. They don't want to be the ones calling out the truth. They just want to be, you know, slow riding into 2024 and uniting. That's what they've told me behind the scenes. They want to unite. I told them no. I refuse.
Absolutely.
No.
I rather.
She calls me every. This is her. Okay. True story. Linda calls me every single morning. And I promise you, it's been going on for like the last 2.5 weeks. She calls me every single morning. This isn't like a thought at the end of the day. This is how she's starting her day. Every day before noon, girl calls me up and she's like, I'm letting you know right now, I am never making peace with these people. Never. This is not I am not exaggerating this to you. This is not a one-time thing. This is not two times. This has been happening every single day. Linda has woken up to remind me. I am letting you know right now, I am never uniting with these people in my life.
So much so that I told her yesterday, so much so there are better chances of me becoming a lesbian. There are better chances of me liking women. There are higher chances of me. There are higher chances of me going bald than me ever coming together with these people because I fucking hate them. It's like the NFT situation. Trump has a brand. Trump has all the, whether you think it's cringe or not, he had his fucking Trump stakes, his Trump University. He has his polos. He has his hotels. He has his shit. He has a fucking brand, right? Same way that Logan Paul has a brand. Same way that any Nelk has a brand. They sell now, Happy Dad, all these things. The same exact way. This man is a private citizen. Well, he comes out with his little NFTs. And of course, all hell breaks loose. How dare he? Blah, 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 blah. He's extorting his supporters. He's asking them for this. Meanwhile, all the NFT bros that I follow are loving it, are buying NFTs.
How's he extorting? If people want to buy something, they fucking buy it.
Exactly. It's the free market economy.
People forget that this is the guy that like, would plaster his name over buildings for his entire career before becoming president.
100%.
Trump has dedicated his entire life to building a personal brand. Yeah. Why would he stop doing that? The Trump name is the brand. It always has been. It's why he was cool guy before he was president. Not that everybody wants to hate him, but he was the coolest man alive. All the men wanted to be with him. All the women wanted to be with him. Why? Because of the self-promotion that he did. Oh, speaking of self-promotion, we should give a shout out right now to Commissioner Anthony Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
To Commissioner Anthony Rodriguez.
She's so funny.
My commissioner. He threw such a great event this weekend. We went to the rodeo. I was going to call it a luau. He had a rodeo at a tropical park. I didn't see you guys, there. You should have been there.
You guys posted. I saw the
personality in the local scene. You should have been there. Tampoco wasn't there either. Now, these people are just slacking on it. But we wanted to give a shout out to Commissioner Anthony Rodriguez, who did such an amazing job putting that event together for the community. We were out there. We saw so many people. Such a wholesome event for families. It had barrel racing and horses.
They had the actual rodeo. It was really nice. Games Everybody for kids. Was dressed up, the whole thing. But the funniest thing about the event
Pikachu?
Aside from everything else that we saw at the event with the fucking Extendo BBLs and the Cuban Pikachu and the Cubans and everything, aside from that is that the commissioner has done the best self-promotion for himself that you would ever picture ever. Every sign, every flyer at the beginning.
Brought to you by Anthony Rodriguez.
He even had his own flag up there in the rodeo, the flags that hang at the arena. Yeah. Just like that. It was Commissioner Anthony Rodriguez. It's the funniest shit ever. What were we talking about right before this?
The Trump self-promotion, how he created his own brand and he's capable of doing it.
NFT. He had the NFT situation that they were freaking out about it. Then it was people were like, oh, well, did you know that it's actually not going to his campaign? I'm like, no, of course I fucking know that. You dumbass. I know that. I know this has nothing to do with his campaign and everything to do with him. Somebody approached him.
They
with
just
a deal.
Don't want him to be great. And that's they don't the want thing him that to Trump be can do be- anything.
Because a lot of people are triggered by that type of archetype of person. The self-promoter, the guy that doesn't really show weakness, he comes off arrogant. People hate that because it triggers something. It's like a them problem type of thing.
It's the Kanye syndrome.
Yeah, it's the Kanye syndrome. It's the Trump syndrome. It's like
the Linda syndrome.
It's the Linda syndrome. It's the Andrew Tate syndrome. It's those personalities that don't really give you a weak spot to pick at or have compassion for. People hate when you just unapologetically go for what you want and think that the sun shines out of your ass. If you want to think that, fucking think that. The fuck problem is out of yours. You know what I mean? But it triggers people.
What we haven't talked about Washington State.
They're basically going to take your kids if you don't. And the same thing is going to happen in California now.
California doing the same thing. So Washington State just passed a bill that would allow the Department of Children and Families to take your child from you if you refuse to put them through gender affirming care.
Bro, guns blazing.
I just feel like we already lived in such a warped reality. The fact that this even existed. And here's a theory. When stuff like this happens, you've got these two extremes, right? You've got Florida banning abortions at 6 weeks and being, the anti-gay state where gay organizations have to say, don't go there, you're not safe. And then you've got a state like Washington State that's straight telling parents, we're going to take your kids from you if you don't cut off their pecker. When I look at those two, two extremes of the situation that we're in, I become more convinced that the future of America is that there's going to be a split in the nation.
There has to be.
Some countries, some states are just going to secede. Some are going to stay together. I'm not quite sure where it is that split will take place, but it just feels like as time goes on, we become more and more and more disconnected as a republic and as a United States, right?
I was talking to Ben the other day about this, and he was saying how the state of, I think it's Oregon or Washington State, there's a good amount of Republicans that reside there despite the state being blue or in super left. And that, I don't know if he said that they were working on it or something like that, but that they wanted eventually to make two states out of one, Greater Washington and South Washington or something like that.
Yes, Oregon.
Okay, Oregon.
Probably Oregon.
Which that is a likely scenario.
I just see the possibility of that happening more and more as some states are going to become more extreme in their liberalism, and then other states become more extreme in their conservatism, because it is fights of
extreme.
Would that
be so bad? Everyone lives happier.
Oh, I personally don't give a shit. Yeah. I don't.
Everyone just lives in the society they want
to
live
anymore. Like, I used to want to like the kumbaya of keeping our
not, but if you safe, can, like, then what you strive for is peace. And if peace means dividing, then hey, everybody's fucking happy.
I just think that with a very divided nation, I mean, I don't mind living it in my own little like world with the people that I think like, right? Like, I think most people want to live that way. That's why you have certain communities like Jewish community, the Indian community is like always sticking together. But I do think that a very divided country is dangerous and volatile, right? And we've seen it. I mean, like, I believe like social media has in a way, especially Twitter with Antifa, like it has radicalized people. Yeah. It's the reason why you had Antifa like vandalizing pregnancy centers that do absolutely nothing but help good poor women, give them clothes and sonograms and whatever they need. And then you're like, well, those are fake clinics, so I'm going to have to go vandalize, and I'm going to have to go intimidate these workers, and I'm going to have to break their windows, and I'm going to have to threaten them. And why is that happening? Because of the radicalization of the far left. The radicalization of the far right cannot take place on the internet because you're not allowed to exist. You're not allowed to be racist. You're not allowed to be an anti-Semite, right? You're not allowed to be an anti-gay, what they call all these things. You're not allowed. So none of that is allowed.
Well,
so,
it exists under mainstream media headlines. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's what it, because it's cause and effect, right? The cause is the liberal media, which we already know in the cases where they're not Antifa themselves, are the ones radicalizing Antifa, right? The far right is a response, again, cause and effect, to that radicalization of the left. Like, we've talked about it so many different times. The pendulum has to swing. Like, how far do you think you can push someone? I mean, what we've seen happen in particular with parents' rights being taken from them, with this gender confusion, the way that we've seen this escalate over the last 2 years was clearly going to lead to some form of like extremism, where you're going to have states that are like, parents don't get a say at all. And then other states that are like, we're going to ban this all together and kids are just not going to be able to go through this treatment. We knew that was going to happen, but we can't ignore the fact that all of this is being led by the puppet masters. Who are the puppet masters? The media companies, the media companies that work for the oligarchy, the lizard people, whatever the hell it is that you want to call them, that are going to push those narratives that either keep us divided or keep us brain warped, whatever it is. But that leftist kind of like zombie mentality, you know, I wonder how many of those 60 women that unfollowed you actually care that much about abortions. I wonder how many of them have actually been in that situation before or actually care, and how many of them are actually just that emotionally vested in it because the media has told them to be emotionally vested in it.
Yeah.
The same thing with the BLM riots. Absolutely. This is the same thing that we saw happen in 2020. The same thing with the hate for Donald Trump. How much of it is the media? And we haven't just seen this at a national scale. We've seen this. You've experienced it. You've seen what we've gone through down here in South Florida, where when we say we're getting attacked by Antifa, we don't mean Antifa. It's not Antifa. It's publications, PR companies, journalists, reporters. Yeah. There are these people hiding behind anonymous accounts that are then radicalizing these Antifa figures, which we have maybe four or five of them in the entire community, but radicalizing those people to the point where now we have the first FACE Act arrest coming out in as far as pro-life goes, coming out of South Florida from an Antifa member. That's really not an Antifa member. It's just some nerd that used to write to the Antifa page, and the Antifa page gave them orders, and now they're all caught up together.
Freestone dude?
Yeah, that's Freestone.
Yeah.
That's the situation with Freestone, you know? And it's with us watching it down here, you know, I remember 2020, there's a famous clip of the crowds of Antifa, and I'm not even sure where they're at, but they're screaming, George Soros, where's our money, George? And then they're like chanting, asking George Soros for the money.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, George Soros funds Antifa. All right. I remember that video happening. But you never really understand the logistics of that, right? Like, is George Soros writing a check? Is the corporation, is there like a head of Antifa? Antifa's not really like an established organization. Yep. So like, who's the representative? Who's getting the check? Who's getting the money? You don't really understand how that dynamic works until we've experienced what it is that we've experienced over the last couple of years. And now you get it. You're like, wait a minute. it's not it's the media companies, mm-hmm. it's the PR firms, it's how easily it is to control the narrative and radicalize regular ass people with just putting money into PR and having the magazines, the newspapers, the websites, the influencers all push the same kind of narrative that you need in order to radicalize one group of people.
You know, speaking of radicalization, and this is not related.
That's so classic. Weird.
But this guy
in Otaola. Yeah. Do you know that Otaola? How great is he?
That was a great episode.
So I don't know
these
if you saw
these two got pretty fucking spicy. So
did you see how after he has the guest on, then they teach people English like for their citizenship? Like they're teaching them.
That's fucking awesome.
Dude. I thought that was awesome too. So there's the dude and he's like pointing people and he's teaching them like, oh, here's the Constitution of America. Here are like the founding fathers. It was awesome.
One thing that I think it's not gonna be good for Otaola is that he speaks no English.
He's got us.
No, I know, but I just don't think that's gonna fly. A lot of people won't vote, and then how is he gonna communicate?
Can he prep himself like, from now to then? Like come on.
How is he gonna communicate with?
I think he speaks some English. It's just not very good looking, but that's okay.
Let's see. We had. You guys remember when we had Sterling Cooper here, the ex-porn star, and we've talked a little bit about like the manosphere and these people. And, you know, obviously you guys did not have like a lot of the things that our guest was saying was a little bit controversial, especially for like the more conservative Christians when it comes to like having multiple partners and living in one house together and all these things and whatnot. So Josue and I share some similar views. Actually, we all share some similar views on the manosphere. Which I believe the manosphere is actually a very toxic space for both men and women. I think that generally speaking, our culture has been eroded by both genders through propaganda, through everything that we know has messed up our human experience. But I also think that pointing fingers at, well, it's the women's fault or it's the men's fault and this and that takes away from the opportunity to grow and really actually point out who is or what was the problem, right? And with the manosphere, you have a lot of these men, especially with Andrew Tate, which we like, it's not a problem. But you do have certain expectations or certain narratives based on statistics and you know, that are just not realistic, even if it's a statistic. So there's this big account. You follow him, AJ Cortez, right? Yeah. I follow him too. And
I'm not too crazy about him, but he says some good stuff.
I'm not very fond of him either. But when it comes to the manosphere, he did have some good points. And some of the points that he was bringing up was that a lot of these men who don't want to get married and all this stuff, like a lot of them say, like, well, I'm a conservative, but also at the same time, like, you should be fucking 10 bitches, you know, like I'm a traditional man. I want a traditional girl. I want the virgin. I want the 18-year-old virgin, fresh girl, no guy has ever had her, blah blah blah. But me, see, I'm gonna fuck, you know, 1,000 bitches, and I'm gonna have like all these partners, and I'm gonna have kids with like 17 of them. And you know, like I wanted to get that perspective for our followers because they've gotten a little bit of that content, and some of it has been from us, some of us it came from Sterling, which was more about like porn base, but it hasn't really been from like a man.
Like a regular dude.
Not
average and like basic. Not average and basic. No,
like,
but,
you know, like we're just regular
to segue that. I always when I hear like the Fresh and Fit podcast or whatever, and I hear them talk about high value men, what I tell Linda constantly is I don't think about myself. I think about me having a daughter. And I think about the man that I would want my daughter to be married to. And then there's somebody like an Andrew Tate who's multi-billionaires in the Bugattis and the Lamborghinis, mm-hmm. and he's going to have 8 wives and he's going to put. And then I look at somebody like my husband, mm-hmm. who's a good, hard working man. If something breaks in my house, my husband can fix mm-hmm. it. If there was a matter of survival, my husband can do it. If it takes to protecting our family, my husband can do those things. And if I had to choose for my daughter what is considered a high value man by true life standards, mm-hmm. a standard man. And not the 1%, you know, Andrew Tate of the mm-hmm. world, I would absolutely want my daughter to have a wholesome, loving relationship with somebody like my husband than a character or personality like Andrew.
First, Tate. Give us your Absolutely. Perspective on the whole manosphere, which is mostly taking place on Twitter, which is the most toxic place in the fucking world.
It mostly, yeah, Twitter's a fucking dumpster fire. But it mostly takes place in Twitter, and it's Twitter that has given me the perspective that I have now, because it also exists on Instagram and TikTok and all this other shit.
Not as much, though.
Right. Not as much, but it's Twitter. Twitter's, yeah, the big one. I think with the manosphere thing, let me start off saying I'm a fan of the manosphere to an extent. Mm-hmm. I think it's bringing a lot of good. I think it's empowering men where they've been recently disempowered because of the culture and because of all this shit going on. Mm-hmm. So but everything has two sides. There's a light side to a movement, and there's a shadow side to the movement. Everything just has those things. And what I've been noticing with the manosphere is that it has bred a lot of men that are already damaged men, and they're using the manosphere as kind of like a band-aid move forward.
That's what I was trying to say.
It's true, and I don't want like shit on men or anything I don't want, you get what I'm saying? Like, but the truth
you're
is the truth.
You're kind of like a male empowerment page to some degree.
Yeah, I am. I sun my balls. But part of empowering yourself and moving forward is seeing where you lack and kind of fixing that to move forward the right way, not slapping paint on mold and thinking that it's fixed. And the manosphere, that's what it has done to a lot of guys. Guys that have mommy issues, guys that have daddy issues, guys that just hate women. A lot of these guys I've noticed are like former incels.
Yeah.
Yes. And they have like that hatred towards women. Yep. But now guess what? They work out, they sun their balls, and they follow all these other five influencers that talk about like being a man. And now they think they're an alpha. It's like, no, Papo, you have a lot of fucking healing to do type of thing before you move forward in that direction. So to me, it's like, I think if the manosphere is going to move forward in a positive way, these things need to be addressed in order for it to actually be the movement that it wants to be. Because guess what? The manosphere is a product of feminism,
right.
The disempowerment of men, the toxic masculinity. And not to say, I will say that I believe that there is such a thing as toxic masculinity. To one extent, things of like the stereotypical abusive dad, like those things are like toxic masculinity, just like you have toxic feminism. You know what I mean? Like there's those things exist.
Yeah.
So what we don't want out of the manosphere is for it to go back full circle.
And then you breed more feminism.
And then you breed.
Oh, sorry. It's feminist.
Yeah. And then it's the same cycle. Then you become toxic masculine again. And then you're breeding the feminism movement again, because guess what? You ended up exactly where you were trying to relieve from.
Well, this
it's the same, and these guys don't see it.
The point I was making to Linda today is that, you know, you take on some of these characters and they talk a lot about like men don't need women, men are more powerful, men should be the natural born leaders in society. Society would crumble without men. I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I absolutely agree with that. So
yeah, like I'd rather live in a patriarchy than a matriarchy.
When you have a crumbled society like we do right now, then offsetting that blame on women is that counters your exact point. Like, yes, are women lost right now? Are women promiscuous? Is there like a whole generation of girls that are like on OnlyFans and like all this other stuff? Yeah, that is happening. But are women to blame for that? Well, no, because I like most of these men agree that men make better leaders, that this society needs strong men to function. The lack of strong men is what creates these trash women in a society where men are, you know, feminized and, you know, hormonally all screwed up from the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink. Don't forget to support Century H2O. When you have a society where men have crumbled, then that's what forces women to take on like these like boss babe type personas. And you can try and shame women for taking on those personas, which is what a lot of these channels do. But the reality is that these trash women are a byproduct of a society with weak men.
Absolutely.
So whose fault is that really?
It's like the chicken or the egg.
And look at the way that even some of these conservatives and people treat us, right? Like look at the way that some of these men, like for example, yesterday I had a comment, I think it was under Will Witt, that I was calling him out because he was calling out Don Jr. And he was like, oh, Don Jr. is like bought and paid for. So I was like, oh, not you talking about bought and paid for when your entire publication is bought and paid for by DeSantis's fucking donors, like not you. And so you know, my comment was about like, I don't care if Will Witt votes like me. You're still fake media because you have an agenda, right? Like, to me, it's like, I don't care if you're right or left. Like, you still have an agenda, right? And somebody came and said like, oh, Jezebel says what? Because since I've been on the internet, Christians, that's what they call someone like me. If I don't dress Jezebel, if I don't dress how you want me to dress, I have had so many nasty comments from men on Twitter. Oh, of course. And even women like, oh, of course you have $145,000 followers on Instagram, because I'm sure that you're just a whore. Like, I'm sure that you're just dressing provocative. Like, your grift is just to show your tits. Da, da, da. Like, look at the way they treat some of us, because maybe we're more attractive, because maybe we dress more sexy, because maybe we look a little bit different,
maybe,
right?
Maybe we're just Latina.
Maybe we're just Latina. Like, even the way that they were saying that we're dollar store Kardashians and stuff, it's like such an uncultured thing to say, because if you come to Miami, walk around Dolphin Mall, walk around anywhere, go to fucking Coral Gables, you're going to see 100 of us with long, dark hair. And it has nothing to do with like, but for some reason, the Kardashians became like the beauty symbol, I guess, of our like time. And so anything that resembles a Kardashian, then it happens to be that like, you're a whore, you're a prostitute, you're this and that. And to me, it's like, dude, I could totally, I mean, not just me, any woman, any girl that we know on social media could totally be getting thousands of views, thousands of likes, millions of followers if we were just twerking, if we were just showing our titties.
And
it's
more frustrating where like you quite literally build your platform of logic and reason and producing.
And then you get thrown into the whore.
Good like, points. And then it's like, bucket. Well, you have tits, so, and you're pretty, so you must be a whore, you must be a Jezebel. Feel like it's like consistently what it is that we come across. And here's the other point. This goes for the red pill community, whether it's on the manosphere or even like within our own, like even on Truth Social, Instagram, within our own communities, this seems to be a movement that seems to promote traditional values, right? Traditional gender roles, men being men, protecting women, rising up as leaders. Our entire movement is focused on this. And yet every single time that I get a vile attack launched at me, it comes from somebody in this movement.
And it's a man.
And I've been telling, I can hold my own. I'm not going to back down, whether you're a dude or whether you're a girl or whatever it is. If you're going to try me, I'm going to try you back. Like that. Linda works the same way. It's always going to work like that. But there is a part of me when I'm fighting with these men that I'm like, bro, like, how can you claim to want to protect traditional gender roles? How can you claim that you don't want the Dylan Mulvaneys of the world on the, you know, being celebrated on National Women's Day, mm-hmm. but then you'll take me, a woman that's out there, an activist, mm-hmm. fighting for our country, mm-hmm. doing all these things, or we're
you're nobody, you're irrelevant, you're this,
and then you're gonna shit on us, you're not going to protect us, you're not mm-hmm. going to elevate us. We've had this conversation with Anthony Cavazos before, where like, you know, he's very Christian, so he'll make a comment to Linda like, oh, Linda, you're wearing your bikini and you're rollerblading or whatnot. El Señor no le gusta or whatnot. And then Linda will get back to the argument. It's like, the day that you save me from Homo Global, I don't have to compete with other men is the day that I will submit to covering up and being moderate and all these other things. Like, let's be honest, again, to the point that I was making about when you have a weak society, whose fault is that? You can't blame women for that. Men are supposed to be the leaders. Yep. So if men are not sticking up for women, which they're not, we know that because of our following percentages and who interacts with our content and the kind of things that we've seen at the activist circles, then we don't have anybody to defend us from the generals. We don't have men to stand up and be like, no, no Dylan Mulvaney's.
But for that same reason that you just said is why the manosphere has amplified so quickly. And I've noticed it with this younger generation of young men and boys and all this shit, is I've noticed how fatherless this generation is. Mm-hmm. Because the way that I see these young men look up to like their five favorite manosphere influencers, it's almost like father figure. Like mm-hmm. they start to like become the sum of those. They almost take on the persona. Like you see the starvation for like a leader father role. Like they idolize these guys.
You have a clip that went viral.
That's what I'm saying. You realize how fatherless like this generation has been, because it's almost like they're pseudo getting it from these guys they've never met online. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it just shows like what's going on, and what's really behind that.
The desperation, the need, the desperation, which is fathers and strong men back. And the clip that I'm talking about that Linda has that went viral is when she says that the lack of men is what's drawing people to characters like Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
But again, like, I'll go back and it's, my husband is such like an Linda knows, like, an exemplary man. And I look at him and it's like, that's when I think of like a true high value man, I think about a man that like works hard, that puts their family first. And why does he have that? Because he had his father show him that. And his grandfather showed him that. And he comes from this like multi-generational family of strong men that provided and took care of their families. And there's,
it's the same thing with women. Like, why are we like, I'm a super homey person and I like, you know, like doing like being at home and cooking and doing this, because you see that with your mom and you see that with your grandma and it gets passed on. I've had other friends whose moms sucked. Like, they never cooked, they never did this. So then they don't clean, they don't cook, they don't do shit. Yeah. They're not housewives, yeah, right? They're more, but you know, with the whole manosphere, like there's something that they shit on, like single moms, right? Like, they're always shitting on single moms, especially a guy from Fresh and Fit, which somebody invited me on Fresh and Fit, and like I refuse to go on that. Like, I just refuse to be part of like that community. The same thing with Jake. He like wanted me to go to South California to go on whatever, and I was like, what? Like, he's like, you want to go with me on this podcast? I'm like, no, fuck, but whatever. And I just hate the content now. Like, I can't take it, because I feel like they're even taking advantage of those young dumb girls.
100%
like,
they are.
They really are. Like, yeah, they choose like the dumbest, like most lost girls in society that could totally be saved, whether it's through religion, whether it's through good parenting, whether it's through friendship, whatever it may be. And they just shit on them and they represent that in the entire society. And I just can't take that. Like, I'm sorry, but you're young. Like, not everyone's just gonna get out of, like, not everyone's gonna get married at 18 like some Christians want us to. That's just not gonna happen.
Well, and it goes like, back to why isn't that happening, is because again, like, it's
but
not,
but if you live in big cities, the reality is that, like, my college friends, they met their college sweethearts, they got married after, but like the reality is that unless you're like literally in the middle of nowhere, like you're living in Florida and like where my friend Wendy is from, by the panhandle that has 5,000 residents, then sure, there's fucking nothing to do. Yeah. You probably don't even go to college. You stay there, you meet your sweetheart, you get married at 19, have kids. Good for you. I don't have a problem with that. But then the you shit on everything. They shit on single moms. And Cortez had a really good point, which was back in the day after World War One, after World War Two, after the Vietnam War, whatever, how many single moms do you think there was after their husbands died at war? He's like, back in the day, there were so many widows and they had no choice but to remarry. And no one was looking at them like they were less than. And obviously the circumstances have changed. I'm not saying that women are like not to blame or anything, but dude, like, do you know how many men are willing to adopt a child that is not theirs? Huh? Are willing to marry a mom with two kids, one child, three kids? There's a lot of those men that do it. I'm not preaching for it. I'm not advocating for it and against it. I'm just saying, like, that reality that is painted in the manosphere is just like, it doesn't exist. Because if you meet a great woman, let's say today, tonight, you go to the bar here at the hotel, you meet a girl, you click with her, you go out with her. On the second day, she tells you, I have a 6-month-old, the baby daddy died or something happened. If you're vibing with her, you're not going to let that go because she has a 6-month-old.
Yeah. Yeah, right. True. Yeah. There's tons of guys out there that will happily take that on. It's just not the type of guys that you're going to see on the manosphere talking fucking, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that back to what Linda said about there being some kind of taking advantage. Like, I called her a couple of weeks ago and I'm like, is this really a representation of Gen Z? Like, these OnlyFans girls, like, you know, you watch Fresh and Fit and you really think that it's like this entire generation is just lost. And then I don't think that the entire generation is on there. They're picking the worst of it to represent. Yeah. I saw a really cool movie last night.
And by the way, Shuda, I'm so sorry. The system is rigged against dudes. We've talked about it here. When it comes to the court system, the child support, everything is rigged against dudes. Absolutely. I completely agree 100%. But what it is that you cannot live in fear, right? You can't live in fear that if you marry this girl, then she's going to take her money. Like, you can totally be prepared. Look at what the Moroccan player just did, the soccer player that was hilarious. He had his entire fortune under his mother. And I remember watching the World Cup, and Hakimi, I think that's his name, he was obsessed with this mom. And every time he scored, he would like run to the benches and like celebrate with his mom. And like, it was like the most beautiful viral videos on TikTok. Well, now his girl, his ex-wife or the whatever wife that he's divorcing, when she was gonna like, I guess, ask for half of his fortune, she comes to find out that 80% of his fortune is actually in his mom's name. This entire time, every single paycheck that goes, I think he's part of the Real, I forgot the team that he plays in Europe. Don't kill me if you're a soccer fan. The point is that it was under his mom's name. Every single paycheck was going to his mom's account. So if he wanted to buy a car, his mom was paying for it. If he needed whatever it is, so his wife is only going to have half of that 20% that he like allowed.
If something was to happen.
Yeah, because of course he knew.
The court systems are set up. Absolutely. The court systems are set up against men, which is why the Manosphere isn't terrible. Like, there's a lot of content I'll watch.
There's great stuff.
I'll even watch Fresh
and
Fit sometimes and I'll listen to it, but I just don't feel like it's representative of reality. You know, we had Sterling Cooper on here and he was talking about how, like, you know, he'll have all his wives and all of that. And that's great. It's a lifestyle. But if I'm being honest, if I had a daughter and she was this perfect virgin, you know, niña de casa, protegida, believing in God, if I have that daughter, I'm not going to hand her off to somebody like Andrew Tate. Like, that's not what that's not what's considered. So, and it goes back where they're like, oh, we're high value men. We're the top 10%, where it's like, oh, we're what everybody wants. And it's like, no, it's not.
No,
like,
it's not,
I'd much rather have
a normal life,
Beamer, my little house, my little thing that my family can go to. I don't need to have a private jet.
I don't need a Bugatti.
I don't need to. I'd like to have my little Rover that my husband pays for or whatever it is. Like, that's a good life to me. Not which is, again, a lot of these girls that they bring in are like, oh, my guy has to make $100,000 a month. It's like, again, not realistic. These are the girls that they pull from these OnlyFans, which exist in a parallel reality that isn't even real. It's like, you don't need that to be happy. What you need is loyalty, a family man, somebody that can provide, that's going to lead you.
But those are also things you notice, I think, as a man and a woman with time. Like, when you're young, your heads are up your own ass, like in the clouds, thinking all these things. And I think as you get older, you start realizing the things that actually matter, like what you just said. You know what I mean? A lot of these girls on these shows, they're some niña. They're just little girls.
Yeah,
like,
they're young.
They're online young girls, 20, 21 years old, like in La Boberia and the
I
bullshit.
Just can't relate, because I've been from Miami and the opportunity to be that girl was always there.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like,
Which is also why it pisses me off. It pisses me off so much that I get so much shit from these fucking losers and the Sims, right? That they don't know, like, our backgrounds, especially people that don't live in Miami. Right. It is very easy, especially when you're in your 20s and you're in the clubbing scene, to become a whore or to fuck a football player or whoever, or the club owner or the whatever. It doesn't matter.
You have
matter.
Access to, you these have quote access unquote, high to, value
right.
men.
And you know, people don't realize that staying away from that matrix as a woman itself, it's winning. It's already like, wow, it's already a an accomplishment that you don't fall into the trap of just sleeping around. I mean, I know so many girls back in the day of the scene. I won't name anybody, but like, I know girls that were sleeping with Lil Wayne. I know girls that were sleeping with LeBron James while he was married.
I too know girls that were sleeping with LeBron James,
you know, Dwayne Wade. And so, you know, all these girls that, like, they did it for some reason. Some of them because of money. They would be the side chicks and would get some of monetary relief from their sugar daddies or whatever. Some of them for fame. Some of them just because they were a celebrity.
You don't even have to go that far. Like, how many girls don't you know that just use their physical appearance to make do with everything and they never produce more than that? You know, like, especially here in Miami, like, there's a lot of women that can just, like, live off of their looks.
Oh yeah, doing OnlyFans, which is hard, by the way. OnlyFans, not that I know, but like I've spoken to girls that.
Well, you're
like
a content creator, so you know that it's hard to create content.
But also, it's one of those things. Like Sterling said it too. Like it's hard entry with like being a YouTuber too, and only really like the 1% makes it into like wealth. Right, like it's really like anybody could be a YouTuber, but for you to make like pearly money or like Mr. Beast or any of these massive YouTubers, a lot of times it takes years, a lot of times it takes practice or like a viral video or something like that. It's the same thing with the OnlyFans girls. Some of these girls literally are making $14 a month, like they fucking suck, right? They don't know how to market, they don't have the Twitter, but some of these girls are making like $500,000 a month. So it's and it's kind of hard to walk away from that type of money when like imagine you're making like Bad Baddie, was that her name, the Bad Catch Baby. Me Outside Bad Baby. Yeah. She made $56 million in a year
on OnlyFans.
Yes.
Like hooking on OnlyFans. Like,
I don't know what her content was
what she was doing, but I do know that she made $56 million. The mansion that she got over in Davie, in the ranches in Davie, she got a mansion out there. Mm-hmm. It was like $12 million that she paid in cash.
How about
you know
that?
What's, well, I mean, you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy?
It's the oldest occupation for a reason. Yeah. She's very ghetto. Always made money for women. Like it's just a decision that you make. Like, am I going to choose this easy route to make money and provide for myself, or am I going to take this like harder route, which then opens up the other door, which is like, what is the other route? Are you going to be like big corporate boss babe? Then does that take away opportunities from you too when it comes to men? Again, like I'm not going to put it on men, but I am going to put it on men because I am not a feminist. I believe that men should lead society. I believe that men should, that women should have a submissive role in society, but it is impossible for women to deprogram themselves and go into this submissive role when they have to exist in survival because there are no men to protect them and take care of them. Right. So to some degree, like, I know that some people are like, well, I don't blame either side. Society is just lost. No, I do blame men because the ones that are supposed to be leaders and are supposed to be course correcting society are men. And when you have voices like Andrew Tate or the Fresh and Fit guys or whatnot, yes, their message to some degree is I can see how it's empowering some men, but at what cost? The cost of degrading women. And you can't, as much as they're like, men don't need women to survive. Okay, that may be true, but you don't want to exist without women because you're not gay. You're straight men that want women in this world. So the degrading aspect of women is what I don't.
But you know, so there's a video I saw and this guy said it beautifully. Let me see if I don't butcher it. There's men that don't like females, and it's a lot of them. And I don't mean that in a homosexual way. They just don't connect with females.
What does that mean? Like, what do you mean?
So they don't have female friends. They don't really, when they have a wife, they don't really connect with her on a human level. They just connect with her as a fuck piece, like as a trophy wife. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of men that they just don't like women. Like, they cannot connect with a woman. They only connect with other men. Right. And it's not like a gay thing. It's just like, that's the way that they are.
Do you think that goes back to like mommy issues? Like
it could be. Yeah. All these things have roots. Like there's a starting point to everything, and it might be mommy issues. I don't know, but they for some reason they don't like women.
But that's that could be. That's a cultural programming, and that's part of the problem. Because I think that a strong man in society being leaders, part of what you're called to do is to protect the female species.
Yeah.
Just a quick shout out to Oscar Almonte. Thank you, Oscar, so much for your contribution. He says, true love doesn't exist today, and it definitely isn't like 30, 40 years ago, like old school days. Blame the system, starting with Lyndon Baines Johnson, Great Society Policy. I have some comments about that and relate to arranged marriages and how they work. But also American Advocate Latino, thank you so much for your contribution. He says, I didn't have a father. I was lost in the world. No guidance. God found me when I was 16 years old, homeless. Today, today I have a wife, one son, four daughters. I found purpose. Amazing.
Amen.
I mean, congratulations with that. But I do want to say that, like, when it comes to like, oh, there's no real love today, like a lot of marriages back in the day were just arranged marriages. Like there was actually no love. Most of the times, no attraction. It was just based on pure convenience of your parents arranging a marriage with like the best suitor, right? Is that what you call it? The best, yeah, the suitor, best suitor. Mm-hmm. That they could find. And that's still practiced in many religions, including the Orthodox Jewish religions. You have some Orthodox Christian religions doing it as well. And of course, you have the Muslims, Hindus as well. Hindus, my friend, yeah. my Hindu friend now, my best friend's sister was an arranged marriage that her husband came over from India. I think they met only two times before they got married. I went to the wedding in Jersey. They had absolutely no love whatsoever. It was pure marriage convenience between two Indian families. That was it.
It's practicality.
It's practicality. It's and then you grow to love that person, because to these people, it's not about like love, attraction, and sex and like the hottest person I could get or the whatever. It's about finding a partner.
Well, because you know what happens.
Creating a family and, you know, just having a community.
Because what happens is that when they say love, right, it's that kind of like feral attraction to another person, and I can't live without you or whatnot. But when you have these arranged marriages, the things that love is truly made up end up taking priority there, right? Longevity, commitment, a man protecting you, a woman nurturing her home, all of those
through things. Through time, that bond and love is created, yeah.
And when your parents are the ones that are, you know, these two grown-ups are that want what's best for you, right? In an ideal situation, your parents are who love you the most and they want what's best for you. They're going to choose a partner
who's best,
who's going to provide you with the best quality of life. It's going to be loyal. It's going to be hardworking, blah, 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 whatever it is. And, and I've many of those marriages work very well. And these people going to live very long, healthy marriages because of the, what do you call it? The arranged part.
Yeah. A lot of the divorce rates for those are very low. Like they're almost non-existent for arranged marriages.
My best friend's parents are still together. They've been together for 40 years in an arranged marriage. Guys, we're coming to the end of our show. We've been going for 114 minutes, almost 2 hours. Stacy was asking about our desgraciado of the week, which we totally forgot to give him a picture. We've had so many desgraciados of the week.
We've had their desgraciados, we know who the desgraciados of the week were. We're all of the Sims that were telling us to go scrub toilets and calling us, you know, lower level Kardashians. And you know what? Let's make a comment about one person in particular. I know we're getting to an end, but it's worth talking about. This all started because you made a comment to
which I was Mike joking, Caputo. Obviously.
You were joking, clearly. Yeah. Mike Caputo was pissed off that Alex Bershowitz had made a mean meme about Jenna Ellis. And he said, you make those mean memes and I'm going to make sure that you get banned from Mar-a-Lago. And then Linda playing around writes back, you should be banned from Mar-a-Lago.
Banned this boomer from Mar-a-Lago. I was obviously being sarcastic.
And
but
then
I was being a troll.
The attack started. But here's why that interaction is worth noting. Mike Caputo is a Caucasian white man who is the CCO of a Hispanic media company. There's a reason why Linda and I have a space. We know that there's not a lot of people that do what we do. We are some of the few Latina influencers in that content creators in that conservative space. And the way that Mike Caputo treated us is such a representation of what the bigger problem is with conservatives when it comes to the Latino vote. You're never going to this level of like superiority where you're above people because our followings are small on Twitter. Well, first of all, they're not small in general, but let's say for a second, the following
that
is small.
So funny.
We're Trump loyalists. We put out good content. Yeah. The number of our following is going to be relevant to the number of people that also help us. So maybe instead of retweeting us to drag us as Kardashian lookalikes, how about a retweet on the last 6 years worth of content when we've been exposing things and within our own community when we've been involved in school board efforts. I think that, you know, this is where I think like Democrats aren't necessarily wrong with some things. When you have a character like Mike Caputo go out and attack the two Latinas that are very much relaying the message that he wants to attract people to.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny seeing them dunk on our following on Twitter. Like, you guys are nobodies. You're nothing. You're this or that. I'm like, bro, you're not even Latino to be like the communications director or whatever you are for Americana Media. First of all, second of all, you don't know who we are. Like, since when I don't know. It was just like the whole entire thing was like fucking weird. Like you're just like dunking on people. And then I'm like, he's like, oh, you don't have a following. So then I show him my following on like social media. He's like, well, you don't have the radio following. I'm like, bro, you're like 100 years old, like fighting with me over like radio. He's like, oh, what is meme culture? I'm like, I could literally meme you into oblivion right now. Like,
I'll show you
what meme warfare is. And you'll be fucking crying, you boomer. But it's just like, of course, conservatives being conservatives, like a bunch of people came after me. Like Pedro Gonzalez was still like going at me today. Call me a goon. I'm like, well, you're tweeting about me at 6:30 a.m. Like you're, I'm the first, I'm the first fucking thought at like 6:30 a.m. Like you're fucking weirdo. First of all.
But that was, yeah, Stacey, to answer your question, we had several desgraciados of the week, but you're right, we need to bring our little video back.
We'll bring it back next week. Before we go, guys, don't forget to share this video, like, and subscribe. And also, if you are looking for a water filtration system, please visit centuryh2o.com and you can use our code MPL10 for 10% off. It's a 10-step under the water system. Trust me, you'll save a lot of money. Instead of just buying water bottles, cheers, you just buy one like this and fill it all the time. And aside from obviously getting rid of all of the toxins that are in the water, which are disgusting, you can see the water. I don't have the website, but you can actually see per county what your water has, and you'll be freaked out how gross it is. It will also remineralize your water with things like magnesium and calcium, which you need. So highly recommend Century H2O. And then where can we find you, Josue?
Hey, again, thank you guys for having me on, first and foremost. And if you guys want to follow me, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, the whole works, at What Josue Has to Say. Josue is J-O-S-U-E. Twitter is actually at What Josue Says because it didn't fit. It was too long.
What Josue Says?
What Josue Says.
He's funny. He's been kind of absent from Instagram. He's been taking a little break.
A little break, bro.
But the TikTok's hilarious.
Thank you.
Yeah, you do good jobs. You do good jobs. And he's out here in influencing the masses in Miami-Dade and bringing in the liberals over to the center right. Guys, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
We will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Thanks.